Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. And this is the first day of our CES coverage. And
It is.
And we have our own set of show sponsors all week long. So thank you to iMazing, Omni Group, Merlin Project, MacPaw, and Elgato for coming along for the ride with us all week. That's very cool.
Yay.
Yeah. So today is the first day of our CES coverage. And later on today, we will be, starting to experience some of the new products that are coming out.
And
yeah, I know, which is really cool. And so what I wanted to do to start off our CES coverage is have you on, because you've been to CES before, but you're not going this year. So you have the perspective of someone that understands the event, but you also have the luxury of being able to look at it from the outside this year. So I thought
it'd
be fun.
You mean from the comfort of any place to sit is what you mean, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's about right. So I thought it would be cool to have you on today, since you are on the outside of CES this year, meaning you have a place to sit, and we can talk about what we are expecting to see, what we think is going to be big this year, and also before we started the show, you were talking about what CES really is, and I loved the way you were describing it. So can I put you on the spot and make you do that?
Yeah, if I can remember how I said it. One of the things that I really like about CES in particular is that, for people who don't know, it stands for Consumer Electronics Show. And the reason that that's interesting to me is because this is what basically as a whole, every manner of electronics industry person has decided that capital P people, you know, at large, when you talk about how many millions of iPhones Apple sold last quarter, these are the people that we're talking about. What's going to be interesting and useful and the new hot thing for those folks? I really like the Consumer Electronics Show for this reason. How'd I do?
I think that was great.
It's always interesting to me because it sort of seems like, I don't know if there's like a group of people that meets somewhere and decides this ahead of time and then, you know, goes and delivers tablets from down the mountain on, you know, this is what's the hot thing in 2017 or whatever. But you've seen it every year, I think, Jeff. Basically, it ends up being variations on a theme. Everybody has their own take on the thing what counts your steps for you, or the thing what turns your lights on for you, or whatever it is. There's always sort of the one thing that like everybody has, and then they have their own regular set of offerings, but for the most part, you're going to see almost everybody have their own spin on some particular thing. I don't know what it's going to be this year.
I don't know.
Last year was a pretty home automation heavy show, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't it last year?
It was. And it was interesting because it was very heavy on home automation, and yet there was very little substance for what they were showing off.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that was sort of curious about last year to me, because like there was the year of, like I said, wearable fitness items was a huge thing. At one point, when mobile phones exploded, after smartphones specifically, so like from 2008 on, lots and lots of people are making things that you plug into your phone. So you're always going to see a bunch of that. Here's a glucose meter that plugs into your phone. Here's a really great microphone. Here's a really great specialty camera. Here's a fantastic case. I remember one year they had an iPhone case that was a battery, but was also like a taser. It would deliver a mild electric shock to somebody if you needed to. So there's all kinds of crazy phone attachments for all kinds of phones, right, and cases and all kinds of things.
What do we need more than a battery where we can accidentally shock ourselves?
Well, it was a pretty involved process in order to be able to tase somebody. But I'm interested, Jeff, if based on what you have seen in sort of pre-announcements and press announcements and the kind of events that you've been invited to, what it looks like this year is going to be.
I see I see three markets that I think are going to be pretty big this year. And one of them I think will be very light on substance. So the two that I think are going to be very big with substance is the health and fitness wearables space. Mm-hmm. And then the other is smart home, Internet of Things devices. And the reason I think those will both be heavy with products this year, and when I say heavy with products, what I mean is companies are going to be showing me things that are actual products with scheduled shipping dates. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, that will be a scheduled shipping window because there might be regulatory approvals that they have to wait for. So they have a finished product. They just can't tell you exactly when it'll ship.
Right. Which is very different from the other thing that you see at CES, which is we're going to build this at some point in the future.
Right. And okay, I'm going to go down that rabbit hole for just a minute, but then I'll get back to why.
You mean the other thing that CES stands for, which is coming, semicolon, expected spring?
Yes. And
or expected summer, I think, is the other one that I hear a lot.
Or expected
summer.
Yeah.
Expected sometime, yes.
So one of the reasons we see so many products that fall into that category where we don't know when they're going to ship or if they're going to ship is because this event, there's a couple primary goals for, you can't have multiple primary goals, can you? There are a couple high priority goals that companies go to for CES. Go to CES for. Wow. Words. Wrong order. I'm working on my Yoda speak, I guess. Anyhow.
Strike that. Reverse it. Yeah.
Yeah. So these companies, they show up at CES because they have a product that they want to have on the market and it's ready to go. So they're looking to have the media talk about it and they're looking to find distributors. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that they have going on is they have products and ideas that they want to bring to market or they want to use to highlight their capabilities to make products. So they will show off something that they hope they can get enough interest in, and then they will make it, or they hope they will make it. Mm-hmm. And then they will have products that are just like showcases of their technological capabilities. And those showcase products are probably never going to see the light of day.
And it's the concept car of CES.
Yeah, it's like concept cars, yes. But a little chirpy beepy go in your pocket sort of things.
But for stuff that charges on a micro USB cable.
Yes. And so they create these designs, and in many cases they get a lot of hype because they are cool. And the companies, they're not going to say, yeah, we know this is cool, but we're not actually making it, because then they're not going to get the coverage. So they, right. So then everyone's all pissed off because that really cool hover phone that follows you everywhere and anticipates your needs doesn't come to market. And people are like, well, CES is a bunch of crap. It's just vaporware.
You can always find those articles, by the way, which I think are sort of fun to watch, like the stuff that was announced last year with a ship date that we still haven't seen.
Yeah, and that does happen.
Yes, there should be. Yeah, there's probably a wave of those up right now that people put up over the weekend. That
yeah, probably.
You know, that awesome thing we saw last year that we still haven't seen anyplace else. Yeah,
right. And there are many cases where a product has a scheduled ship date and it just never happens, and that can be for all kinds of reasons. But anyhow, now that I'm climbing back up, up out of that rabbit hole. The reason I think that we're going to see substance this year in the wearable health and fitness space and in the smart home space is because we have seen so many advances over the past year with companies actually shipping products and really working to refine what they're making. And I mean, if you look in the smart home space, it's still a hot mess, but
it's a disaster area.
Oh, absolutely. And yet we're seeing companies like really pushing forward and trying to come out with products that consumers are going to be interested in, and not just, hey, let's throw this out and see what sticks. It seems like, well, there's a lot of that, but it seems like there's companies that are really working on making products that consumers are going to want. And I think over the past year, we've seen a marked increase in interest in both of those categories.
And I think part of that interest, and this is going to sound weird on the Maca Observer Daily Observations podcast, is the Echo Majigger. Because I think now that people have one, they got one for Christmas, they got one on a super deal over the summer, whatever. I think that there are a lot of people who, now that they have that and have sat down with the app and set it all up and looked at all the skills and see that there's a whole smart home section in the app, like, what else can I hook up to this thing? I think this is a lot of people's gateway drug into the world I've been living in for the last 4 years of, I have lights in the backyard that come on automatically. I have a sensor so that when I go up the stairs, the light comes on for me. I have a light that turns on when I get home. If it's dark, then the light turns on where I come into the house automatically, so I don't ever have to come inside in the dark. So particularly now during the dark times when, you know, the sun comes up at noon and goes down at 2 o'clock, I could leave the house at daytime and come back at night and it was silly to have a light on. But now I kind of need one and I have eliminated that problem. And yes, this is all first world stuff, but it's things that I've been working on for a long time to try and make stuff more convenient. And I've been waiting. Now we get back to it being the Mac Observer podcast. I've been waiting for Apple to get into this more than just, well, if you buy a new Apple TV, sometimes you can talk to some of your stuff.
Right, as long as your iPhone isn't in your pocket.
Yeah. And I don't feel like they're at critical mass or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I don't see the iPod wedge into home automation / Internet of Things stuff. Like I see with an Alexa Majigger. And that's, to me, that's part of what I think is going to cause a lot of people to get into this. Partly that, and partly, I think last year, a lot of people showed off stuff and went through regulation and certification and compatibility stuff, like, you know, works with HomeKit. There may be an Amazon, there may be an Android equivalent of that. I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't spend a lot of time with Android devices, so I don't know if there's any sort of, like, you know, works with Google Home certification that you need to worry about.
Nope. All you need to do is make your app.
Build a thing. Okay. And then, but with the hardware side, I think people have now had the time, because the Echo has been out for a while, that the Amazon Majigger is, you know, people have developed skills for it. And which is how you add functionality to your device. So people have the skills, people have taken the hardware through whatever certification process it needs for, you know, Wi-Fi connection and, you know, making sure that they've built something that's shielded, that doesn't run too hot, that isn't going to saturate your Wi-Fi network with a bunch of nonsense so that you can't do anything, you know.
Well, and like it does something that's actually useful
for you. When you couldn't talk on the phone if... Right. You know, and I think that, you know, this year on the consumer side, anyway, I think this year is going to be big in sort of the 2.0. You know, that thing we showed you last year, we found the fundamental flaw in plugging that in your house. And now we're going to make it better. So here's the thing that we're actually sending out the door this year. You'll find it in Best Buy in a month or whatever. That to me is very exciting. I'm excited about the wearable stuff because what I like personally
I have an Apple Watch. I used to have a Fitbit. One of the things I like about that is that having it on me, whether it's, you know, a plain old, like at one point I used a free pedometer for a while. Whatever it is that I'm using, like having that in my pocket or clipped to my clothes or on my wrist is a constant reminder of, you know, don't drive around looking for the closest parking space and, you know, get up and walk around once in a while and, like, you know, take a few extra steps, you know, and go make that lap from, you know, like through the living room and then through the dining room and back into the kitchen, you know, while you wait for the microwave. Don't stand there and stare at it. And it's one of those things that for me personally ups my activity level, just having it on. Sure. And so I'm excited because we hear all these stories about people being overweight in America, people being obese in America, all the kinds of fallout that comes from that, all the kinds of diseases and illnesses and conditions and problems that come from a sort of sedentary lifestyle. And I'm excited about those sorts of things because I really like the idea in my mind that people are buying a new gadget to have a new gizmo thing to play with, and that it sort of is motivating them to maybe spend a little less time on the couch watching Netflix and a little more time on the treadmill watching Netflix.
Right. Okay. Hold that.
Because I'm an optimist. So yes. To me, that's a very exciting thing. So that's why I'm always sort of interested in that space, is because I want to know what's going to happen there next. And you're a fitness guy too.
Like, I am.
You like that kind of stuff.
I do like that stuff. All right. So hold that thought, because where you are right now is the mind space you are right now, I think, is going to play into what I want to talk about next.
Okay.
But before we talk about that, I wanted to highlight OmniGroup, because they're one of our show sponsors this week. And I'm really excited about that, because OmniGroup makes products that I've been using for quite a while. I use OmniFocus, which is their to-do list task management, and so much more application.
It will change your life.
It really will change your life. It's,
I know I am a person who is given to overstatement, but OmniFocus will change your life.
Yeah. And OmniFocus, it really has changed my life. Every task that I need to accomplish goes into OmniFocus, and it's on my iPhone, my iPad, my Mac. I can get at all my event or tasks everywhere. It's wonderful. Omni Outliner, I can't live without that. Omni Outliner.
I love it so much.
When I wrote my book, I wrote it in Omni Outliner. No kidding. Yep. Then there's
my longer form projects. When I work on stuff, I'll start in Omni Outliner, whatever it is. It may be a small thing, like before I even like quantify tasks into OmniFocus, sometimes I start in Omni Outliner with, this is the thing I want to get done. And then I start breaking it down into steps. Well, how do I do that? Well, the first thing that needs to happen is we need to have this in this particular state. How do I get there? And it helps, because even if you're not very linear, you can go back and add things up above, add a few sub levels of outlining. It's fantastic. I love it.
Yes. And of course, we can't forget about OmniGraffle, which is an awesome, I oftentimes use it in lieu of Illustrator. I mean, it's designed so you can make charts and stuff, but for me, it's actually been really useful for a lot of the vector art that I need to create. And then, of course, OmniPlan. So if you're doing big project management, that's a fantastic tool to use. So
it's tremendous as a resource planner. I know people who, it's also available on iOS. That was not a super recent development, but getting a great version of OmniPlan on mobile is fantastic. So if you're one of those people that sort of takes your iPad to all your meetings with you, you can have all that data with you. And the other thing I'm going to tell you right now is that if you haven't cashed in, if you haven't spent all that iTunes money yet that you got for Christmas, maybe treat yourself to an OmniFocus app, because I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to be more expensive than other things in the App Store, and they don't go on sale. So just keep that in mind.
But you get what you pay for.
I'm trying to prepare people for a little bit of sticker shock when it comes to the App Store, because they're more than a dollar. So make sure you're sitting down when you go look up OmniGroup in the App Stores, both Mac and iOS. And but absolutely give them a chance, particularly with the Mac. They have free trials, and they're one of the companies that's always looking for an innovative way to help you get upgrade pricing or help you convert your Mac App Store version to a version directly from them. they do everything they can, both in their app and as a company, to be good Mac citizens, which is great. They started as a Next company. Ken Case, who started Omni Group, was originally a programmer for Next many years ago. And I love them so much. I personally know a number of people who work there, and I really enjoy them. So yay, Omni Group. I'm super excited we get to talk about them here.
Yes. So go check them out at their website. You can download demo apps or demo versions to omnigroup.com, O-M-N-I group, omnigroup.com. Thank you, Omni, for being our sponsor today. All right. So we are getting kind of tight on time, but before we wrap up, so Kelly, you were talking about how you've gotten really excited about where you can go with the health and fitness apps and tools, and how they're actually like really functional for you. And and I think where we are now, that's the general mindset. These products have evolved to a point where there's useful, tangible functionality for the average person.
Yes.
And I think in contrast, the robotics side of things, which I believe will be big this year, is where health and fitness was a couple years ago. We have the robotic vacuums. That's like the big thing right now. People can go, they can go to Target or Best Buy or Amazon or wherever and buy a robot vacuum. And other than that, there's not a lot of home robotic products. But, and so what I expect this year is that we're going to see a lot more home robotic products that are focusing on actual functionality as opposed to clever gimmicks like little companion robot dogs. But I don't think we're going to see much of that come to market. So that's where we were a couple years ago with a lot of the health and fitness products.
Right. So if people are taking a crack at it now, then maybe by next year's CES, it'll be a little bit more refined and we'll have some things that are actually out on shelves. And part of what makes that particularly exciting to me is that one of the things that I've always said, that I've said for a while about home computers and, you know, tablets and that sort of thing, is that the magic has sort of disappeared from that. Like, it used to be a special event to watch a TV or to watch television, or it used to be a big deal if a family on your block got a microwave, you know, back in the day. And just like it was a big deal when people got a computer, and now the computer is sort of turning into the microwave. You know, it's not special. It's not interesting. It's just the thing that you use when you need to do a particular task. Here's what it's for. So it's not a special thing to, like, I'm going to sit down at the computer like it used to be. You know, I'm going to sit down at the TV. And I like that about it, because I feel like that's, once it's at that point, it's mature enough to really see what's interesting and happening. And I want that in home automation so badly. In the robotic stuff, you know, it would be funny to me that now I can run the microwave with my phone.
Yeah, that would be funny. okay, so a couple other areas that I expect will be big this year. Televisions, because it's big every year, because the television market every year has some new thing they want to push at us to get us to please, please, please buy a new television. And I think drones are going to be really big, like consumer drones. Yeah.
Yeah.
My expectation is that the outside area, there's an area set up outside the convention center where you have a bunch of other tents. And typically you'll have a lot of drones in that area. And my expectation is that it's going to sound like you're going through a beehive, because there will be so many drones flying in that area.
Probably.
Yeah. And my guess is that there'll be some surprise breakout product, and I can't wait to see what that is. So later today, I'll be checking out a bunch of products with Dave Hamilton and Brian Chaffin and John Braun. And so we'll be letting you know what it is that we see. So be sure and check in throughout the day, and of course all week long, because we're going to be letting you know what we find that we think is cool. And
there's going to be pictures on Twitter feeds and things like that too, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. We'll have the Twitters going. We'll have the Instagrams going. We'll have the YouTubes going. And yes, I think it's going to be a pretty cool week all the way around. It'll be a lot of work, but that's okay. I don't mind doing this for you guys because there's a lot of cool stuff that you want to see. So I'll be your eyes. All right, Kelly, we're out of time. We have to wrap up.
That's okay. It's been my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me help you kick off the coverage from afar.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so glad that iMazing, Omni Group, Merlin Project, MacPaw, and Elgato are sponsoring coverage for us all week long. Thank you to every one of those companies, and be sure and check them all out. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again live from Las Vegas tomorrow.